321. Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, March the 25th, 85th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County 2nd District Supervisor Estelle Fennell. How are you doing, lady?
I'm doing well, Brian. How are you?
Are you keeping in trouble?
Absolutely.
All right.
It's the only way to go.
This afternoon, we got a couple different things to kick around the corner. What was the phrase? I'm thinking like 1930s, 1940s. You'd kick around.
I'm not that old, Brian.
No, I know. I'm just. Yeah, kicking an idea around. I guess that might be it. Anyway, we got some things we'll be kicking around here. I still had the opportunity to meet with the congressman in Southern Humboldt.
Oh, yes.
And show him all the sights and sounds of the 2nd District, some which were probably more enjoyable than others. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Department of Health and Human Services, obviously there have been some changes there and will be some changes. So, and that isn't necessarily unrelated to the meetings with the congressman. So we'll wrap that into it also. Spend a little bit of time talking about what's involved in the process of doing things, either working with cities, working with state, working with various jurisdictions. What's the process that's involved in that? We'll talk about that as well when we come back.
The best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell, but before we do our quote this afternoon, let's see. Heinrich Ibsen, quote, he's been dead for over 100 years, so he's not going to strike back at us. A community is like a ship. Everybody ought to be prepared to take the helm. No reflection
well said,
on your
Mr.
declaration or lack thereof at this point. What does it take to gear up for a campaign?
To gear up for a campaign?
I mean, there's the emotional commitment part of it and everybody who's in your inner circle going, yeah, okay, and
well,
allowing you to do it.
A wise former supervisor told me one time, first of all, you have to have, quote unquote, the fire in the belly. You have to know that that's actually what you want to do. And I think...
Do you ever really know that's what you want to do?
For me, it's pretty clear. You know, there's a point where you question it, and there's a point where you say, I want that. I want to be able to do that. Or, you know, if you've been doing it already, such as in my case, I want to continue what I've started. I want to keep going. I see things moving in a direction that I like, and I'd like to work on that. So just basically that's the first part, is deciding, yeah, this is something I want to put my energy into. And then at that point, you start moving forward. And dedication to the end result, to getting things clear for everybody, all of those are part of kicking it off.
When you're structuring, I think everybody, left, right, involved or not involved, understands the concept of what's referenced as a political machine. Okay. Folks that are willing to do it for the cause, for you, because they like it, the adrenaline rush, the glory, and in some situations, the compensation. Looking at the structures that are in place, do you need to inherit an existing structure or infrastructure, or is this something that that people who are not involved, people who don't have the blessing, quote unquote, of the political machine can do at the countywide level? Can you invent it, or do you have to find it from somebody else?
So running an election on a countywide level, I think that, you know, obviously democracy, the democratic idea is that anybody can do it. And I think a lot of
that's kind of shot in the backside when we look at even state. Yeah, yeah, right. Running for assembly. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. A regular guy can't do it. No chance.
No.
So, I mean,
have to get an idea of what it takes. Like, what you do well by at least consulting with somebody who likes you, thinks that you're a viable candidate.
Like an existing elected.
An existing elected or a former elected. Somebody who would say, hey, what was it that was the most important part of running for office for you? What do you think was the key? And then, you know, so you can actually create it if you've got what it takes, or you can find somebody who's ready and to take you there. You know, you notice that especially in the larger federal and probably the state level as well. There are quote unquote machines that are ready there, and you know, there are people who make it their life.
There's
work.
A phone call that I could make. Mm-hmm. To an outfit in San Francisco, mm-hmm. as an example.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll put your race together. I'd asked them because they were handling some of the media placement last year.
Yeah.
I said, so what does it take? I said, $1 million and we'll get you to run for any local or regional state.
Mm-hmm.
If you want statewide, obviously it's going to be a little bit more than that for the media placement and everything associated with it. Probably travel as much as anything.
Mm-hmm.
But they had their figures and it was boom, boom, boom. And if you cut the check, bang, we're off to the races.
Oh, yeah.
That's simple. That template is just, to me, it was kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
Knowing that you didn't have to invent the chemistry lab and the end product. You just have to go where, you know where to go.
And, you know, part of that is today's world as well. I mean, if you go back to what it took to run for president in, 1800 as opposed to today, you had to get yourself on the back of a train and go across country and all of those kind of things, meet crowds in various little
Wouldn't it
areas.
Be cool if you could do it? Running, yeah. Let's say for California,
mm-hmm.
running for a state office.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually had a coachman train, mm-hmm. and that's what you did.
And stand
you had
on
a
the choo-choo, back of that.
You'd
yeah.
pull into town.
How many people would come out to see that?
The novelty of mm-hmm. it all. You mm-hmm. know, you say, "Wait,
have
hey,
a
if
band
you think,
right there on the."
If you think this is hot stuff, why do you vote me in?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got a whole bunch of other ideas here also that are a little bit non-traditional.
Yeah,
I would. Boom, and then you hit the rail and you go, you know, a little mm-hmm. Q&A, and you move on.
So that was the way it was. Nowadays, what it is what do you have on your cell phone? Can you get somebody? Can you track somebody down? Can you target them when they're going to work, when they're going on vacation? You know, can you identify possible voters, people who are registered, and can you do? You know, can you manipulate them the way you do everything else?
KINS, News and Information Time. We'll work on the word manipulation. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Estelle.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, considering some of the different options and the things that are out there, I would think inventory management of your time, data management of the information you have, obviously financial management for the finances that you have, message management, all these different things are very critical, but it takes a different breed of cat to do each one. I mean, if you've got a financial guy mm-hmm. or treasurer, I would be loath to put them in front of the marketing message.
Mm-hmm.
Different personalities, different styles, different. So how big do you need to have this quote-unquote inner circle?
Mm-hmm.
Even for a county, I mean, are you talking 3 or 4? Are you talking 10 or 12? And then you've got different jurisdictions, and we'll pick on yours. Fortuna's got their in-the-know folks versus Garberville. Mm-hmm. And they're in-the-know folks, and they may not necessarily be the same or even mm-hmm. get along for that matter.
Well, here's the deal. First of all, I want to go back on what we said a little earlier about manipulate. That's not how I would see it should be done, but you can see in today's world that people take data, and they use it to access people, whether it's through advertising or whatever. You know, if they want to have an event, that's just how people respond.
Well, manipulation,
in terms of contact.
To me, manipulation is not a negative for me.
No, it's
a verb.
It's kind of using your ability to bring the most people, your message to the most people, and the most people to you. So that's one thing. Now, as far as what it takes in terms of knowing your district, I think the key, in terms of mine anyway, I say, is actually knowing your district, is actually knowing what the issues are in your district, having enough experience with community service, having worked with people, having done things in the past. You can't just come to it cold and say, hey, that would be a cool thing to do. You've got to have been involved. You've got to have known what is important to your community.
Involvement but, as a...
However it would be. You could be a firefighter.
Not as a resume builder.
No,
to have connections in various elements of the community.
Real involvement. I think that's so key. Now, as far as having a team to work with you, yes, you're absolutely right. You need people who are just as familiar with the area as you are, in some cases may even be more familiar. And then if they support how you are, they'll help you outreach to their friends and outreach to and know the issues in that community. So
let me lob a couple out then, and you tell me if this is too big picture or too granular.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now Virginia's not running, so I can use Eureka.
Uh-oh, we're talking politics again. Okay.
Of course. Okay, running in Eureka. Number one, got to be jobs. Number two, it's got to be drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Number 1A and 2A is the homeless. Okay.
Yep.
Doesn't go a whole lot deeper than that for me. Potholes, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. But if we have jobs, we got money coming in. If we don't have to have all the social costs associated with the other stuff being cleaned up, okay, we got money coming in. We got businesses wanting to locate here. The economic development component of it and then the cultural component, that takes care of everything. Simple mind, simple message for me.
But it
is that deep enough, or is that so surface that it doesn't get any traction because I'm not paying attention to the corner of XYZ Street and the pothole and that street light that is historically gets shot out every New Year's Eve?
I think you've got to do both. I mean, that is the challenge of representing the community, is you have to be aware of the small and the big picture. And I think ultimately, as a leader, you need to have a big picture view like you talked about. Now, it's a truism. Everybody says jobs and the economy and the environment, etc. That is a truism.
They're almost platitudes, aren't they?
It's how you address it. It's how... What your involvement is with it, what your vision is of how to get there, that's what's important. That's what makes you the candidate. And I do think that for a lot of our social ills, having a strong economy would really go a long way. Having a secure community would really go a long way to you know, help all of these issues. And I firmly, firmly believe that. And I think if we could address some of that, we would not have as many money woes. We wouldn't have as many crime problems, all of it. And this is not pie in the sky. This is proactive planning, in my view.
Do you need to be able to condense it into elevator speeches of 30 seconds or sound bites of 10 seconds?
So you got to think it through. You got to be clear on how it is. And that's where the big picture marries the little picture, because the little picture says, how do you accomplish that? Where do you begin to see your results? Is it when that light is now finally not shot out anymore? Is it when those potholes are fixed? Is it when we don't see people dying in the street? I mean, what are the various components of the big picture that make it whole? And so you have to have both. Yeah, definitely.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell, Humboldt County Supervisor. Not declared yet, even though we're talking about this kind of stuff.
I know, I can't believe it. We're doing this.
But no, it's curious, and this is a safe time because it is an off year.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've got a couple school boards, maybe a couple water district, or the Humboldt Bay folks. There's not too much else running, and certainly not this time of the year. There's nobody gearing up for a June election. What is the biggest surprise that people get when they, okay, I knock on your door and say, Estelle, I'm kind of sort of thinking about what do you, we go through all the normal stuff, the accounting, how much money, and you know, how much rubber chicken can you eat, and you know, that kind of stuff. And then at the end, I say, so is there anything else that's a surprise that unless you do it, people don't get?
Mm-hmm.
What would that be?
Well, knocking on doors is very, very important. I will tell you that much right now. People really like the opportunity to talk. And
on their porch or just in access?
On their porch very often, because you've taken the trouble to go out and meet with them. And honestly, for me, it really, really helped because I know what I'm talking about now when somebody says such and such a street or such. I know where that is and what it looks like and what it feels like. And I've talked to somebody who had to deal with crossing the road with no lights or whatever. So those things are important. But I think as far as the surprise, there are good days and bad days, you know. And I think if you're a winner, you see more of the good days, the good surprises. And
bad days would be frustrations, or I mean there's a continuum there of
right
what you know, the guy that drowned at Shelter Cove.
Mm-hmm.
Bad day.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Some department head really not reacting the way that you wanted them to, and you have to call them three or four times.
Yeah.
Inconvenience day.
Yeah, right.
Not a
right,
bad day.
Exactly, yeah. But I think that generally speaking, you know, I think people are surprised if they run and they haven't thought it through. Remember, I ran twice, so I kind of had a feel for it. I think that, for me again, the only thing is that there. Well, maybe if you're a winner, if you're somebody who actually goes through and gets to that point where you've made enough contact with people and enough people feel good about you being a potential leader for your community, I think that the big plus there is that you've made that connection, and suddenly somewhere about two-thirds of the way through, you go, ooh, this is actually going well, and that's a big surprise, and you don't know it until you know it.
Kind of an epiphany.
Yeah, there's an epiphany there. And you also begin to understand that if you're somebody who's running for the first time, you shouldn't be surprised, but a lot of people can be surprised by how vicious people can be when they're...
One-on-one or... The other one running.
You can be nasty stuff can come at you. And then election's over. Oh, that was just all politics, had nothing to do. Well, that wasn't personal when I stuck a knife in your back.
that would be the toughie, I think.
Yeah.
Is, I mean, if you're not someone who is inclined in that direction.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't want to do it.
You can't outthink it.
No.
You can't prepare for it because it's like preparing for me something that there's no reference to whatsoever.
Yeah. So just stick to who you are, why you want to be there.
Don't get off
off the track, you know. And then maybe I hope I'm not immune to surprises anymore, but who knows.
Well, if you were, that would still mean that you were naive in certain areas.
Yeah,
huh?
Right, exactly.
You don't want to lose that little girl, do you?
Yeah.
What's that mean? Oh, there's a story there, but we won't pursue it at this point.
No.
Oh, boy.
No, you got to be, you know, people say you have to have tough skin. I don't think you have to have tough skin, I think your skin has to be flexible so that when you get a punch, it comes back out and it doesn't stay in there hurting you.
Yeah, as long as it's not personal, I would imagine.
Push it back out.
If you weren't learning on the job and you knew it all going in, you wouldn't be paying attention to anybody anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I just think, I really can't honestly think of what would be a surprise at this point, you know, as far as...
Oh, you're not throwing down a gauntlet here, are you? Didn't think so. KINS, News and Information Time, hits 3:40. We'll be back with more from Estelle.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, you had the opportunity to sit down, spend some time with the congressman in the middle of the 2nd District, or I guess probably the population center down in Garberville, Redway area. When you were showing him some of the concerns that people have in that district, and it was right there. It wasn't this theory thing anymore. He was staring at it. What was his reaction?
Well, I have to tell you, the reason he was there was actually to talk about marijuana. And so he wasn't there for a tour of whatever else is bothering people. It was a meeting with the congressman. We also had Sheriff Downey, Sheriff Allman from Mendocino County, District Attorney Maggie Fleming. We had Jeff Doff, the Agricultural Commissioner. And then we had a whole bunch of other people, including people who are involved in the marijuana industry right now, and representatives of the...
The boutiques?
The...
Not the large...
Whatchamacallit?
Not the big plantation growers.
The CCVH, the California Cannabis Voice Humboldt. And then there was also...
What is that one?
Emerald Growers Association.
Okay, just some...
And there were those two... Yeah, so there
groups.
Were members from both of those. So the congressman's basic message, basic request was, how are things going here, and how can I help if you wind up having to deal with legalization in 2016, which is what's everybody just talking about.
So Mike talked to him for a long time. Did anybody else get any words in?
Well, I'll tell you, Mike and Tom had a lot to say in terms of the frustration for law enforcement. And I would add to that the frustration at a local policymaking level, which is my level, with both the state and the federal governments that haven't really given us clear guidelines. And so that's where we're stuck. We have to deal with it day in and day out. And he did say that at a federal level, there is some sort of a movement now. It's things are shifting a little bit because of the fact that Washington State, Colorado State, Alaska State have all made marijuana legal in one way or another.
Well,
so
Oregon's coming up in July 1.
Yeah.
So you got the medicinal side and then you got the recreational side, both at the same time, and the DOJ not
and so
getting clear edicts from the federal level of how to interact with the states.
And I don't know if we talked about the summit that I went to in Sonoma, but the bottom line for state legislators a lot, and certainly local people like supervisors, is, you know, what exactly do we do? Do we concentrate now on codifying medical marijuana? Do we anticipate for marijuana across the board, what is it, recreational. Going around and looking at what are the issues, look at what banking has to do with, you know, if something becomes legal, how do you have the money be legal if the federal government says it's illegal? And
or something
huge.
As simple as workers' comp.
Yeah, all of those things, or taxes, you know.
Yeah.
And so he did say, actually, that the federal government is looking at some way to deal with the banking side, considering that they've got, you know, Colorado and Washington already dealing with them. So that's one of the good sides, if you will, of us not moving forward the way the other states did, is that we can see what they did wrong. We can also see that the government is, the federal government is looking at it.
So, yeah, you got an opportunity to nibble on an ear a little bit, and we'll see what happens later on this year.
Yeah, he's heard, and, you know, we got a lot. Also, there was a representative from the CDFW and the Division of Water Rights, Chris Carrigan, who's been looking at the watersheds and how people treat the watershed if they're growing marijuana.
Use and abuse, yeah.
Yeah, right. And can they be permitted? Can they be brought into the fold?
Oh, that's for another show. Thanks for coming by.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We've been talking shop with Estelle Fennell. Now all the secrets are out. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more secrets. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs, someone you'll see tomorrow.